Welcome to Problem Corner. More than just a radio show, it's a community forum, a marketplace, and a platform for dialogue on the issues that matter most to the people of Juneau and Southeast Alaska. This is a space where your voice can be heard, whether you're celebrating, selling, or seeking solutions. Just go to KINYradio.com, click on the Problem Corner link, and add your comments, suggestions, or leave a message. Now, here's your host, Wade Bryson.
Well, good morning, good morning. Hello, and welcome to Problem Corner. I'm your host, Wade Bryson, and thanks for joining us for this Problem Corner on air, then a podcast. The best way that you can participate in Problem Corner now is send me an email. Go to KINYradio.com, click the Problem Corner link, and then send that Problem Corner email right over to me. If you'd like to get a call from me, include your phone number, and I'll be able to call and reach out to you while we're getting Problem Corner set up. If you've got something to sell, something to say, you can put it on that email. And like I said, if you want to give a call, all you got to do is tell me when you send me that email, KINYradio.com. Click on the Problem Corner link. What a interesting week it's been. I think winter tried to hold on a little bit, and then spring said, no, I think I'm ready. And now that we've got some rain, getting rid of that last little bit of snow, yay. The one thing that I do want to warn folks about, I heard about a rescue on the Mendenhall Lake. People were walking out on the lake when the temperature was more in the 30s, and they actually did have a breakthrough. Somebody fell through the ice situation at the beginning of the week. So we have passed the winter mark of being able to walk out on lakes. So please be very aware of that if you're going to go anywhere near a body of water. That ice on top might still be there, but that doesn't mean it is enough to support you. So please be careful if you're crossing across. Well, don't cross across the frozen water. You might not make it. But speaking of crossings, this week, it might have been towards the end of last week, the North Douglas Crossing Planning and Environmental Linkage Study came out with their preferred alternatives, which is what we were waiting for. They had their meeting, which marked the last of a two-year process. I think it was the final fifth meeting of stakeholder groups. And if you haven't been paying attention, and you don't have social media, they came out with the same preferred alternatives, but they had more details about those crossings. Sunny Point, east and west, scored higher than I thought it was going to. Vanderbilt Hill, which if you've been listening, you know that's my preferred alternative because I think it has the least amount of issues surrounding it. But everybody had a score. They did it really neat, so you could look at a pie chart and see, oh, wow, this is only a small portion of this is negative versus, oh, this is a large portion that's negative. So if you got 2 cents on the North Douglas Crossing, or maybe even questions, as we're going to be talking about it at Public Works, and I know that there's going to be more meetings about it, and we're probably going to have a public listening session through Public Works. So if you've got 2 cents to say about what you think of the preferred alternatives, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. And your first one is here on Problem Corner, KINYradio.com. Click the Problem Corner link and tell me everything that you think about the second crossing. We want to know what all the concerns are now, so maybe we can help mitigate those issues, especially for the birds. The birds are going to be the main topic as we're trying to figure out a way across North Douglas. All right, KINYradio.com. Click on the Problem Corner link and let me know what your 2 cents is on that. Hey, good morning and welcome to Problem Corner here. Thanks for joining us this morning. How are you doing today?
Real good. Great to talk to you. Glad to hear you on the air.
All right. Tell me one thing. What's your problem?
Well, I'm concerned about Juneau's economy and the way we've been perpetually turning down opportunities to grow our economy and hence maintain and possibly grow our population. Most recently, we appear to have turned down the permit for developing a new cruise ship dock by Huutotum. And could you update us on what the situation is there and what we can do to keep that project moving forward?
I did hear that the results of the appeal were in, and the ruling was that the Planning Commission failed to require dock electrification because that was what was in the waterfront, the long-range waterfront plan. And so we do have a decision back. It wasn't a that's what they got wrong is what the decision said. And we've only recently heard about that information.
So you're saying if we electrify the dock, we might be good to go?
I don't know where that's at in the whole process. I can let you know where we're at. I don't know that I should speak that. People are listening and they're and folks are looking for any reason to make this process harder than it needs to be. So right now the status is the ruling came back from the appeal and they said that the lack of requiring dock electrification was the one thing that they found in the appeal. That's as much update as I have.
Well, thanks for that update and definitely something to chase down then and make sure this project stays alive.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for giving us a shout this morning and, as I hear more about it, I'll let everybody know more.
Fantastic. Thanks, Wade.
Hey, thank you for taking the call. Have a very good day. I do have a few emails of people looking for stuff. Daniel is looking for a dog sitter for about 5 weeks. They need to feed and water the dog, let it out once in the morning and once at night. Price is negotiable. Payments would have to start in the second week of service due to the issue of paycheck up north, which is weekly pay, but held for the first week. So Daniel's got to go work up north. If you think you could help him out by being a dog sitter, feeding and watering the dog, letting the dog out, Daniel's number is 747-999-8013. 747-999-8013 if you can help him out as he's looking for, he says dog sitter, but it looks like he's wanting somebody to go to the dog's location. You could probably give him a shout and see what he could cover with that or what kind of flexibility. It does not have a dog here or the brand of a breed of dog on here. So you can give Daniel a shout. Find out. Maybe that's something that you guys would be compatible with. All right. I was so about to read the phone number. My mind's still trained that way. I did have another thing come up as I'm getting close to this first break here. This past week, I had an anniversary. I've celebrated 29 years of living in Juneau. I got here in March of 1995. So, holy smokes, I can't believe I've been there or been here for 29 years. Wow, I blinked and that was yesterday. Well, that's how it goes. I do have one other little anniversary. It's coming up in just a couple of days, I think on Monday. The Bike Doctor is 6 years old. If you can believe that, it's true. And so I want to congratulate Ken. We went from 450 square feet, and I think we started out with 12 bikes. That was it. That was our shop, 450 square feet and 12 bikes. It's a little different now if you haven't stopped by that old dairy location. So, well, there you go. Yeah, we're talking about the North Douglas Crossing Juneau Bike Doctor. All right. Well, that's going to bring us up on the commercial break. As you're thinking about it, go to your computer. Go to KINYradio.com, click that Prom Corner link and send a submission over here, and I'll make sure to include you on Prom Corner. I'll be right back with more Prom Corner on KINY. All right, welcome back to Prom Corner. Like I said, if you're listening to Prom Corner and you want to get your submission over here, go to KINYradio.com, click the Prom Corner link, and send your submission right over here. Like my buddy David, he has an older friend who is having her hip replaced. Wildflower Court does not have any room available, so they were looking for a hospital bed to rent for a few weeks. If anybody knows either where they can get temporary medical equipment, like renting a hospital bed, or if somebody out there has a hospital bed for rent, or that you can let them use, or who knows what circumstances you guys might be able to figure out, David's number, 907-321-4149, 907-321-4149. He's looking for a hospital bed to use for a few weeks. And so if you know what that solution is, you can either send it to Dave, just call his phone number, or you can let me know here on Problem Corner. Again, KINYradio.com, click on the Problem Corner submission, and it'll send it right over here. I'm a little surprised that I haven't heard more, gotten to more 2 cents about the school consolidations. I know it's everybody's favorite topic. Everybody was really hot, especially in the beginning. So hopefully things have calmed down maybe just a little bit as the school district is actively trying to figure out what's the best way to move forward with educating the children of Juneau. The latest rendition, and I'm sure you've heard tidbits, 7th through 12 at each of the two different high schools. So Thunder Mountain would have 7th through 12th graders, and JD would have 7th through 12th. And that's how you could keep the schools more in the neighborhoods. The other alternative, I don't remember if you knew what they were looking at before this vote. They were looking at all high school down at JD and then all middle school at Thunder. And so then you're displacing families out of their neighborhoods. They're not going everybody becomes a busser. And so the 7th through 12th has some practical measure to it, as long as they don't try to bus, do crosstown busing and bus folks from North Douglas to Thunder and then bus folks from Auk Bay down to Juneau Douglas. You can say, well, that doesn't sound like a big deal, but it's all of those type of activities that actually kind of got us here in the predicament that we're in. We just be everything to everybody, pay for everything that everybody wants to do. And it'll all be great as long as the state and the city just give us more money than they've ever given us before. And we saw how that didn't work. So a pragmatic approach to splitting the – keeping the two high schools open. Slight advantage to doing that, sports programs. There's more capability to enter into sports programs in that model. Although – there's a question of how it impacts middle school sports programs. So again, no straightforward answer. This rendition, you know, it's had its pros and cons weighed. We're not hearing as much opposition on the assembly level as we did when there was a all high school down at JD and all middle school at Thunder. That we definitely were hearing about on a regular basis. Maybe some of the anger energy has slowed down a little bit. But that sounds like the direction that they're trying to move in for next year. While this may be the direction they go for next year, the one thing I want to remind everybody is that, you know, the school board, not the school district, the school board could make changes in the future. And so if this fell flat on its face, Well, maybe that's one of the potential outcomes, especially as we have new school board members come on. Maybe a better solution presents itself. If you have one, by all means, let us know. They did have to shut down buildings. There wasn't an option of not shutting down buildings. And we knew that the discussion would come up to which buildings to shut down. To give you an update, I have gone in all three buildings that the school district has proposed to give up. Marie Drake, downtown, houses Yakus, and the Montessori School. The school admin building and most recently Floyd Dryden. And so we've gotten to take a peek at them. We've gotten to look at them. We have had a small discussion. Is it practical to put a city hall in here? And on one hand, we own the building. On the other hand, it would require that $30-plus million renovation that the voters said no to. And so we don't know if that's the correct answer. And then for City Hall, is moving into Marie Drake. Could we shoehorn it in there? Absolutely. Would it be good for the community if we did it? Probably not, especially since that one location had the least amount of parking available to it of all the locations. But again, we're digressing into that. The one biggest issue that has popped up about that 7th through 12th option is, do we really want 11-year-olds, which is the young range for 7th? Do we want, maybe it's 12, but do we want 12-year-olds going to school with 18-year-olds or even 19-year-old? I think my son was 19 when he graduated. So that does become one of the issues. They talked about some of the mitigation strategies that they could employ to minimize like high school seniors with seventh graders. But the only way that we can find out how well that system works is to go and try it out next year. So we'll see how that goes. And again, if you've got 2 cents on it, 586-1800, 586-1800. Yeah, hopefully the school board will come up with something. The school district is working diligently at trying to handle all the solutions that have been presented to them. And I'm saying those two phrases separately, school board, school district, because even I think I've gotten those two entities confused or cross-threaded here. The school district, that's Superintendent Frank Hauser and all of his staff. They drive or they write the owner's manual, and that's how they operate. The school board, those are the folks that make the policy decisions. And so while the school district has had to, what's the best word, take the brunt of this situation, and the superintendents had to do the most work to do this reorganization, that's the school district. It's the school board that set the financial constraints or made the budget, even though they didn't have anybody, or they approved and authorized the budget. That's the good right word for it. And they allowed these certain I don't want to say too much. So the school board who made the financial decisions, like, yes, we're going to fund this. Yes, we're funding this. That's where a lot of my contention is pointed towards. And I have said school district. And the one thing I'll say about the school district is we have awesome school district people. They are doing the very best. They're all dedicated to kids. And so as we've had this discussion for like, I don't know, the last 2 months or so, I want to make sure that everybody knows the distinction between the two, because the school district employees man, I haven't met any one of them that isn't just pro kid, pro Juno, trying to do the best thing. The school board is where I've had some of my differences with, and spending behaviors and habits would be my main point of contention with them. And so as we have these discussions, or as I have my criticisms going forward, I will make sure to be crystal clear, letting you know which entity. And then just so that you have the complete picture, there's the school district. The school board is over the school district, like the assembly is over the manager's office and that way. But the assembly is forbidden by all the rules and laws. The assembly has no authority over the school board. It's a completely separate elected body. And so they're making decisions on the city's behalf without city oversight. And that becomes one of the issues that has caused the assembly or the school board to bump heads with the assembly. Maybe that's the best way to say it, as I'm trying to figure out as I'm telling you this. All right, I'm going to go ahead and take another little commercial break here on Cat. Another little commercial break here on Problem Corner on Cat. I'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Problem Corner. I got an email here. This person is not completely satisfied. If they didn't want to leave Problem Corner the way it was, which in his opinion was perfectly fine, they should have just let it go away. Not a big fan of the new format. Victor, thank you for sending me the email. And the only thing else that I'd ask of you, send me another email for next week's show, and keep listening to these Problem Corner podcasts. And I want to know how I can make improvements. And the more interaction and more emails I have from you guys, the better. I did get somebody sent me a question today. What is the value of tourism on the Juneau economy to you? I think they were asking me, but asking away like, how do you see the value of Juneau's tourism industry on the economy? Obviously pretty high. You know, tourism connects to every single business in here. Even if you go to the craft store, they get busier in the summer because they have more people in the community. There's more activities going on. Even some of the businesses might have to buy some of those craft supplies to, you know, for whatever different things that they do as people have events. And so I don't think that I've tried to think of any business that could be completely isolated and not have a single sale or be connected to tourism. And it's really hard to think of one. I thought of the paint store. I got a neighbor over there on Old Dairy. He's got a paint store. And I was thinking, God, what about them? Would they? Nope, they would be. So any business that held tourism activities or tourism shops, that'd be where they get their paint from. So that wouldn't be, they wouldn't be immune from it. Everybody that has a job in tourism that then has to paint throughout the year, yeah, that would be a way to connect to them. Every food establishment obviously sells food to tourism employees and different cruise passengers. It always amazed me when I was downtown how many cruise passengers ate at my restaurant. And then as I was chatting and over a few years, I kind of figured out because it's familiar. They've been at sea. They've been eating all the, you haven't eaten anything the same as what they've had in a while, but then they can come in. They went into the downtown franchise and they could have the exact same thing that they had back when they were there. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to digress into that, but it would be really hard to come up with a business that wasn't connected to the tourism industry in some way, shape, or form, that their revenue didn't go up while the tourism workers and visitors were here. And so if you've got 2 cents on that, or if maybe you can give me a perspective that I'm not seeing, if you know of a business that is completely isolated and is not impacted by the influx of tourism whatsoever, I'd be curious to hear that from you. And again, kinyradio.com, click on the Prom Corner link, and you can send that right over here. It's an excellent question, because even if you don't share activities with the tourism, the businesses that you go into, even when their tourism isn't here, are somewhat dependent on that cruise industry, that cruise revenue, or the visitor industry revenue. That's the phrase I was looking for. All right. The other component I was going to start talking about, we've definitely been chatting about housing and the housing crisis. And now that we've got tourism brought up, Telephone Hill, I know another hot topic. It keeps popping up. Telephone Hill is another great example of how Juneau can push back against tourism. If you think tourism is taking over downtown, the less Juneauites we have living downtown, then the more it opens up downtown to be tourism dependent. And so the more people that we can get living year-round downtown is the more that it'll have downtown will have a vibrant downtown community that won't be so dependent. And that's where Telephone Hill comes into play. We can't even begin to calculate the number of the economic input or the economic effects of having 100 housing units smack dab in the middle of downtown in Telephone Hill. And so if you, regardless of how you feel about tourism, you're impacted by it, whether you like it or not. And a lot of times it's the not liking part that they're impacted by that's causing the issues. But the best way to push back against tourism and to make sure that Juneau has a good balance is to support the Telephone Hill development, because more people living downtown will absolutely push back on the tourism industry from just wanting to take over more spaces. And we've noticed a change in the downtown. I don't remember exactly what the time period is, but I was able to calculate we lost 180 housing units in over the last like 12 or 15 years, from stuff being condemned to fires taking out apartment buildings, to condemnations, to properties that just aren't livable anymore. I mean, it was a significant amount of housing that's been lost from downtown. So we fixed Telephone Hill. We put more housing downtown. We put more Juneauites downtown. And that's how you reinvigorate that downtown area. All right. And then we always have how City Hall impacts that. We have re-entered into City Hall discussions, and no new information has come around that made anybody feel like going out to another location to put City Hall would be beneficial. I think the actual conversation we had is, could you put City Hall in Floyd Dryden? And the short answer is yes, you could. It's a 75,000 square foot building. But the better answer is there's nothing around it. And so you would actually have more drive time for the city staff that would have to go do the different things that they have to go do downtown. Think of law and how often they have to go to the courthouse. There's nothing around there. It's like in an economic, it's in the middle of the residential section, and you don't want to put your city hall right smack dab in the middle of that. And so it was discussed, what would City Hall look like in either one of these school buildings? And it was ugly. Both answers weren't great. And again, just as expensive as building a new building to renovate an old high or an old school to become a city hall. So we had real discussion and looked at it. And when you're standing in a building and trying to envision how you can do that, it takes on a whole different meaning. All right. Well, I think that brings us up here to almost the commercial break. Remember, if you're listening to this and you'd like to participate in Problem Corner, go to KINYradio.com, click on the Problem Corner link, and tell me your problem. And if you'd like for me to give you a shout and talk about it on air, we can do that too. But I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and take that break. I'll be right back with more Problem Corner on KINY. All right, welcome back to the last segment of Problem Corner. Like I was telling you before, send me those Problem Corner submissions, KINYradio.com. Click the Problem Corner link and send your submission right over here. We can include you in on next week's Problem Corner. I wanted to mention Eagle Crest. As somebody sent me a question, can their family use Eagle Crest, the new gondola, when it's up and running? And the answer is absolutely yes. I do remember somebody had inquired once they heard that the price tag of a gondola ticket sold on the ship will be somewhere between, $110, $120, up to $150. And they were a little concerned that that seemed a bit exorbitant for locals to be able to use that same facility. And you got to remember, when they're selling a package or a product on the ship, let's just knock 10% off that they're going to take as their service charge, maybe even 20%. And then you have to get it to, you have to get those people from the cruise area or the dock. You got to transport them all the way to Eagle Crest. And then you got to transport them back. And so there's more involved to get a tourist there from the cruise ship than it'll be for locals to just drive up there and either buy the day pass or they mentioned that they'll have like a season pass to use that tram or that gondola. And so they will make it accessible to Junoite families because they do know that Junoites are going to want to use them. And they've already been talking about something I think would be incredibly fun, mountain biking. It'd be like, be able to take your bike up the mountain and then ride your bike down the mountain. That does sound like a really, really good time. So I think the question that this person asked, let me go to it. Yes. When the Eagle Crest gondola is up and running, will you and your family take advantage of it? And the answer, I believe, for most folks is yes. Especially if they're already Eagle Crest users, well, they're going to use it. And think about how many stories you've heard in Juneau. How many people do you know that have either taken the tram up and hiked around up there and maybe hiked down, or they hiked up and then took the tram ride down? I remember back in the early years of the tram, before it was packed, that if you walked up, you could just take the tram right down, or maybe you had to buy a drink at the restaurant that they have up there. So how cool is that, that you'll be able to do something similar at Eagle Crest? Not this summer, but I think the summer of 2025 could be the summer that you get to go ride the gondola up to the top of Eagle Crest. All right. That train has left the station. It is already happening. They're doing they had been doing work over last construction season, finishing up a ski season, and they will go back into that construction mode. And but somebody was curious, is that going to help change your mind about Eagle Crest? You need to go up there and check it out. Thanks to Gold Belt, who operates the existing tram. We've got some local tram or gondola experts. And the Gold Belt tram is the most vertical tram in the world. All the other trams, they might be longer, but nobody's as vertical as they are. So we have gondola operation experts, and man, that just couldn't have worked out better for us. And speaking of Gold Belt, last time I saw McHugh, he's interested in a trash incinerator. Oh, I know, that would just be one of my favorite little toys to get Juno, except for that it's not a little toy. It's a big, expensive toy. And we couldn't put it in an easy location. But there's some opportunity there. And so the more successful Gold Belt is, the more opportunities that will be presented. So yay for Gold Belt and for McHugh. And just your random fact of the day, Gold Belt and me are approximately the same age. Our birthdays are about 2 weeks apart, but I'm the same age as Gold Belt. So must have been a lot of great stuff was happening in 74. All right. Okay, I'm going to switch gears here for a minute and talk about something that's I think we're going to consider it a pretty serious topic. The governor just vetoed, or is vetoing, the school BSA, the base student allocation that it sounded like both bodies of the legislature said, hey, this is the one that we want to move forward. And everyone, well, not everyone, but people are confused. Why on earth would the governor say that he's going to veto the base student allocation when every school district is hurting for money right now? What could the thought process be? Why would the governor say, no, I'm not going to go along with what both bodies have said? That, and here's the thinking. I know the logic behind it. He wants to get $10,000 into the teacher's hands. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about low student or low school funding or inadequate student funding. What it really comes down to is inadequate teacher funding, right? The governor wanted to do direct to teacher payments, pay $10,000 to every teacher. By doing it through the BSA and increasing an amount, I used a little bit of different math to explain what I was trying to get at. In order to give each teacher a $10,000 increase, you would have to give each school district $20,000 extra per teacher, because they just eat up the funds before getting it into the teacher's hands. It doesn't quite work directly the way that I'm saying it, but that's one of the effects of it. And the governor's logic is he would much rather have put money into the teacher's hands than into the, what's a term that I've used, a black hole of school district funding. There's just never going to be enough. And so if one of the main issues you need to get your teachers paid, then direct to teacher payments, well, there's some logic and reasoning to that. And I'm not saying one side or the other that I'm coming from, because there's merit in both. We definitely want to see the BSA go up. Obviously, every school district in Alaska is hurting from flat funding. At the same time, a reduction in student population is just compounding the problem. So is it better to just put money into the teachers' hands, or is it better to put more money into the school district? That, I think, is the question that the governor is trying to answer. All right, I know that's not controversial or anything. So I tell you what, how about send me your two cents about either that topic or any of the other topics that we've discussed. Go to KINYradio.com, click on the Prom Corner link, and that will get your topic or your question over here to Prom Corner, and Next week, we will include you in there. And if you'd like for me to give you a call on Prom Corner, include that in on your email, and I will give you a shout when we're recording this. So, again, thank everybody for listening and hanging out with us here on Prom Corner. And send me those emails when you get a chance, and I'll talk to you next time. Remember, on Prom Corner, there are no such thing as problems, just solutions we've yet to discover. Have a great weekend. I'm Wade. I'm out of here.
You've been listening to Problem Corner, a production of KINY Radio. Listen every Saturday morning at 9, or subscribe everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts.